Thank you for joining us on the Rescue Revive Gospel Show for 25 minutes of gospel-centered conversation. I'm your guest host, Pastor John Souza, filling in for our beloved Pastor Dominic Denisi. Today we have with us a very special guest, and I can say it again, a very special guest. It is Pastor Dominic Denisi, the founder of Rescue Revive Ministry. So God bless us. How are you doing today, brother?
I'm doing well. This is different because, well, we both have shirts on, although you have the bigger logo of Rescue Revive. I have the small. We got a lot of logos today. Amen. I got the sign in back. But you came up with this idea. I want everybody to know this was your idea when I asked you to fill in for this for this month. And I thought, you know what, it makes sense, right?
Sure.
Why not have the backup host interview the host, and as you said, by God's grace, the founder of the ministry. So yeah, I'm excited about this.
Yeah, good. I appreciate all that you do, Pastor. You've been a life changer in my own ministry here for the last 6 years in Rochester, and I know you've touched a lot of lives. So before we get into the whole thing about Rescue Revive, just tell us a little bit about yourself, your family, and your calling, if you don't mind.
Yeah. So, six children.
Wow.
One married. Three boys, three girls. People have said, like, the Brady Bunch, yes. Three and three, if you're old enough to get that reference. Love them all dearly.
Yes.
Very, very much so. In fact, I was so blessed because I was at my daughter's apartment yesterday. My family went over there after church service, and I was so blessed to watch her host, just like her mother. She was just like her mother.
Yeah, that's great.
And I was so blessed to see that. And of course, my wife of married almost 23 years. And then, yeah, calling to ministry, we're on year 21.
Wow.
And that happened unexpectedly, unintentionally. I was a phys ed teacher and a coach, and it all just transpired as I was walking in those things and looking back. Can just see God's fingerprint on his plan. So that brings me to the current day, 50 years old. Amen. You know, Rescue Revive Ministries, we just started our eighth year of evangelistic and missions work, and I love it. And of course, you know, I'm pastoring Spence Ford Bible Church as well.
Amen. So you weren't planning this, it just kind of fell into your lap. You saw God's fingerprints on it.
Yeah.
I always say, when you see God's fingerprints on it, put your hands to it.
I
know,
that.
Pastor Dominic, I never wanted to be a pastor. It never entered my mind all my years until I got saved, and all of a sudden I felt that calling. So you just put yourself before God and see what happens. So six children, you have a great wife. I know her a little bit, and I always hear good things about her. You still have all those chickens? The first time I came to your house, you had me in the backyard, and you had all these chickens walking around.
The chickens have been massacred. They've died a martyr's death many times. Two coops, all gone. Two flocks.
Yeah. Dogs, foxes, coyotes.
Yes, we have one dog now, but yes, the coyotes out there, chicken are a good illustration. I know God uses sheep.
Yes.
Chicken would also be a good illustration for God's people because they're so vulnerable and defenseless.
I just preached about sheep yesterday. I'm not sure if I'll preach about chicken, but we know the righteous are bold like a lion, right? The wicked flee like a chicken.
Yes.
All right, well, we're not here to talk about chickens, are we?
No, probably
maybe
not.
Maybe for lunch.
Right, yo.
Okay. So I guess, why don't you describe to us the mission of Rescue and Revive Ministries?
It's in the name, and in fact, I was explaining that to a group yesterday after service. They wanted to pray for me for the crusade, and tell them the connotation, rescuing the lost and reviving the saved with the everlasting gospel of Jesus Christ. That was the mission and that was the vision since 2018. In fact, if you look in the office up there, there's the picture. Can't see it real well right now,
yeah.
But that was our first meeting. Yeah, August 13, 2018.
Yep.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Wow. Ferraris in East Rochester, we sat down with the board and we launched it, and that's going to remain the vision. Is rescuing the lost and reviving the saved with the everlasting gospel of Jesus Christ.
So does the Church of Jesus Christ need to be revived?
Absolutely. In fact, one of those people that was praying with me yesterday had mentioned that, how, well, we've noticed when we go out on the streets, it doesn't matter where it is, if we do outreach in any capacity, almost every single time, inevitably people will come up to us and be encouraged and inspired. Maybe they were kind of secret Christians, maybe they were prodigals, maybe they weren't, they needed a little shot in the arm, so to speak, or a little personal revival. That's why I came up with the name, because I learned that from experience, is that when you go out and you proclaim the gospel, it's twofold. Yes, it's primarily for the lost, but also it really does revive those that already know Christ.
Amen. The Bible says, he who waters will himself be watered.
Amen.
Proverbs 11:25.
Yep.
I know I've been going out to the streets for at least 27 years, and it's great that people's lives be touched, but I see how it really revives the church when they get out there and they do something. I spoke yesterday about going out to the lost, and I had college students and others say, hey, we want to get out there. We want to get out there, because that's when you grow.
Absolutely.
So it's very important.
That's 100% accurate. In fact, we were out on our last Monroe Ave for the year this last Saturday, and we had a couple people persecuting us, harassing us literally for an hour straight.
Wow.
And the gentleman that was with me, he's been out there before, he said, man, this is how you really learn about demons and everything else. And it's actually the truth. You can sit in a classroom and you can learn, and those are good things to do. But when you actually are in the game, so to speak, that's when it becomes real.
So you had a guy out in the street giving you a hard time?
Only for an hour.
Well, an hour. Yeah. Let me ask, was Big Randy there?
He was not.
Okay, because I see if Randy was there, no one would mess with you, maybe. No, I wouldn't mess with you.
No, I think this guy would have kept going.
Oh, boy.
Turned out well.
Had a death wish. Yeah. Amen. Does he sleep with the fish now?
He does not. That's for those of you who don't know, that's a little reference to an old Italian film, Godfather.
Yes.
Inside joke. Inside
yes,
joke.
Yes, right. Yes. Ask us about it when you see us. Mm-hmm. So, okay, what else? What ministries does Rescue and Revive perform?
Yeah, so it's always, people ask me, in fact, Monroe Ave, a couple people came out and said, hey, this is really good. Where's your church? So I didn't tell them Spencerport because it's a different entity, so to speak, although they do support Rescue and Revive Ministries. I'll tell them it's a mobile gospel ministry. So obviously we're here at our headquarters right now in High Falls, but we have various branches. So, you know, we have ministry in Kenya, which I'll be going visiting again soon here. We have Monroe Avenue. We have Adult and Teen Challenge. Camry has now become part of Rescue and Revive Ministries. Camry's Thursday nights near the RTS station. We have this radio program, and then the Crusades, which our prayer team just got back, and that's how this ministry started. To the campus and the marketplace, they just got back from praying over every Ivy League school for 4 days.
Great. They go right to the campus and pray?
Right to the campus and pray, and now we have a team of 7 made up of 3 women and 4 men. Now we'll be going out with 2 teams of evangelists on Wednesday, both made up of 6 men. That's how this ministry started, was those Crusades.
That's fantastic, and our college is needed.
Yes.
And in light of the whole assassination.
Yeah.
Any thoughts on that? Were you guys going out there? Any concerns?
Yeah,
any
people
motivation?
I know there were people. The reason some people want to pray with me is they're concerned, and I understand that. But what I've learned is this: be strong in the Lord and the power of His might.
Amen.
And I know what we wrestle against is not against flesh and blood. I've been out there, and remember, we get a microcosm, we get a snapshot of what's really out there due to social media.
Sure.
And what it can cause is fear, cowardice, discouragement. And that's exactly what the enemy wants. For me personally, when that happened with Charlie Kirk, which was an absolute tragedy, hands that shed innocent blood, which God hates, I'm more motivated than ever before. I'm excited to go. And I know God has me, and God is sovereign. So I rest in that.
Yeah, I believe you guys are the next extension of Charlie Kirk, what you're doing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I believe God's anointing has been with you and will be with you. And I believe there's going to be greater things. God,
amen.
Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his godly ones. Psalm 116, verse 15. No Christian dies, just by accident.
Yeah.
And John 12:24, unless a grain of wheat falls and dies,
quoted it yesterday.
Yeah, I believe you did.
Yesterday.
So I believe you can see even more fruit, out there, what you're doing. So God bless you. So I pray that people here will keep your team in prayer this week.
Because
it's a bold thing you're doing, but the righteous are bold like a lion.
Appreciate it.
Amen. So, maybe this question's redundant, but how did Rescue and Revive Ministry actually come to fruition? Did you cover that?
So here's the thing, I was on staff at a really great church. I was at for about the time, 15 years, I was there for 20 years. And was overseeing the children's ministry, and that was wonderful. And still connected with that church today, Koinonia Fellowship, and everything was wonderful there. But I've always had a heart for evangelism, missions. I know who I am in Christ, and it's more of a trailblazer, pioneer,
amen,
builder, equipper, that type of thing.
Yes, sir.
Which involves pastoral ministry, but it also involves evangelistic and missions, just different components. That started stirring up in me, and so I just went away to pray and fast, and the Lord, I felt, said no, it wasn't time yet.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of years later, I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt with the confirmations that I received that I was supposed to start this ministry, and this is how it's supposed to look. Rescue and Revive Ministries fits like a glove in the sense of who I am in Christ. And so even with you being here, I mean, your evidence of the fruit of that is that I've always told people, he raises up people better than you as an affirmation. It's like the Apostle Paul told the Corinthians, he said, you are the evidence.
Seal of my apostleship.
You are the seal of my apostleship.
Yes, yes.
So I always look at that verse and say, look at the people God's raised up to come alongside this work. So I've never doubted. In fact, I was telling one of my children, one of the things I've never doubted, at least in the last 7 years, is this ministry.
Oh, yeah, it bears much fruit. You know them by their fruit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely. And like you have 6 kids and you have your hands in all kinds of different ministries.
It's a big ministry.
Yeah,
right?
You do all kinds of stuff. Yeah. And I admire you. And as I mentioned, you've been a game changer for my life.
Praise God.
Amen. So thank you for all you do. So with that, what challenges and costs have you faced? Like what obstacles mm-hmm. must Rescue and Revive overcome?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great, great question. One of the obstacles we had to come overcome was COVID.
Yeah.
And during COVID, I had to make some decisions. Did we still do Monroe Ave? And yes, we did. Do we still go on the Crusades? And yes, we did. So some of those obstacles is going right through the obstacles. The challenges that are there in the culture, the challenges that are there in the times. When we started our ministry in Kenya, which right now is doing so wonderfully, we had huge challenges. We were denied entry onto the plane, even though we had our negative COVID test. We had to basically swallow $6,000. We've had a lot of different challenges in a lot of different arenas. Of course, when you go out on the streets, you get harassed, you get persecuted, you have to expect those type of things. They're really God's grace. Finances have always been there. It's not like we have, we're not a quote-unquote million-dollar ministry, but God has always provided. We've never been in debt. But there's challenges on every level that come with gospel ministry. So those are just kind of a handful of them.
Yeah, I think of the Apostle Paul, 1 Corinthians 16:9. A wide door for effective service has been opened to me, but there are many adversaries. Yeah. I guess if you're doing something good, the devil and the powers of darkness are going to come at you. But what the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and by the men take it by force. Amen?
You've seen a lot of great verses there that a lot of them I either said or heard yesterday.
Yeah.
So keep going.
Can I? All right.
Yes, please.
All right, so I was going to ask about financial hurdles. Mm-hmm. I'm glad to hear that you don't have issues, but I'm sure you always take...
We don't have debt, but finances are always part. You know, people say, you've heard the saying, some pay, some pray, and some go. And I've learned that, you know, the people that give are just monetarily or is just as important as the people that serve or the people that pray for the ministry. That's part of it.
Yes.
And God has always provided in very supernatural ways. The people and the places that are just some of the biggest sometimes givers and donations are the least expected. You'd never pick them. I mean, and I've noticed through this, there's about 11 churches that monetarily support us. None of them are mega churches. Some of them are smaller, and they have the biggest hearts. And that's what I've noticed, is that God, even in terms of giving monetarily, will show his glory through those that you wouldn't expect to give the way they do.
Yeah, I could testify that. Within the first few months of my being in Rochester 6 years ago, a lady came to our soup kitchen. I just assumed she was probably a lady from the street. I thought, I'm going to talk to her, be nice to her. Turns out she owns a business, and she has donated thousands of dollars for food for the Salvation Army. Unfortunately, she just passed away last year.
Mm.
And God took her up. But she was a blessing. I never thought, you just don't know who's an angel out there, in a sense.
You don't, and you're in a ministry in the heart of the city, inner city of Liberty Pole, which is the real, I mean, you're in the trenches, right? And I've had the honor of co-laboring with you in different capacities. And I think that's in those opportunities, in those type of ministries, when you're that deep in the trenches, you really see, going back to that illustration of God's fingerprints.
Yeah, amen.
You know, and that woman evidently was one of those.
So you said people can either pray, or they can pay, or they can go. I've always heard it said there's those who make it happen,
okay. Those
who watch it happen, and those who say, what happened? I don't want to be one of those. I want to be one who makes it happen. Amen.
I've never heard that one. That's really, really
stick
good.
Stick around, huh?
Can I give you
a few more new stuff?
You got some really good ones. I got to take that.
I got some bad ones, too.
No, always good. Always good.
Amen. All right. So where has Rescue Revive Ministries taken you? I know you've been to many universities. Yeah. So tell us a little bit of where you've been, because I know you've been around.
Yeah. So the campus in the marketplace, this is year 10 before we were formally 501(c) officially Rescue Revive Ministries. These crusades started with one team. There were six men, and there were like two or three people that went out and prayed ahead of us in 2016. And so we began the campus in the marketplace. I've been to, I want to say, probably 40 or 50 college campuses in the Northeast, proclaiming the gospel, passing tracts out, open air preaching, worshiping. Adult and teen challenges along the way have helped us out. We've been able to minister to the men there, stay there. Locally, of course, I already mentioned some of the spots, Monroe Avenue, Liberty Pole, we've had outreaches there.
Yes.
Follow the Cloud events, VFW. Really, what I like to say, and because it's true, is Rescue and Revive is local, national, and international.
Yes, sir.
So we've kind of been able to experience, like it talks about in Acts, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and even the uttermost in the sense of Kenya.
Yes.
And Kenya, about to, return for my fifth time, of course, is, it's 8,000 miles away.
It's a long walk.
And it's a very long walk.
Wow.
And but it's so amazing. And it's the people there are so wonderful,
yes.
Especially just the lay people. I call it the land of opportunity, because there's what we can do there with what we have here goes 10 times further.
Yeah, I just saw pictures, I think yesterday on Facebook, about the harvest that they're reaping right? They're actually growing plants and stuff, right? Because of
Water well in Turkana, which was it was a seed a couple trips ago, but it came to fruition. It's been completely built. It's providing water for Turkana, which is a remote area, tribal area in eastern Kenya. From the water, now our ambassador, who was there, Max, has been able to plant crops for them with the water. So maji, which is water in Swahili,
maji,
has changed everything. Like one of the ladies was saying, you know, in the with water comes life, and of course Jesus calls himself living water.
Amen.
That has transformed that whole village town area there in the desert, and that brings amazing quantities of joy.
I can't imagine that.
As wow. People who have been able to be part of the hands of that work to see how that has transpired, and that was a work that required quite a bit of finances.
Wow.
And God raised up a specific church that supports Rescue and Revive Ministries to really spearhead that part.
Yes.
And that just makes my soul rejoice, because Rescue and Revive is about the kingdom first. It's king over castle. So where I'm first about the kingdom of God, then the local church. I love the local church. I pastor church. I've always loved the local church. But I believe Christ, when he gave the Great Commission, it was to the universal church. And then out of that, what happens? The local church is born.
Amen. So you said you started off Rescue and Revive Ministries. The first team was six men, right?
Six men went to different college campuses back in 2016, correct. It was six men, and it was a few people that went out ahead of us to pray through all the places we went prior.
I just saw a picture on Facebook the other day. It must have been 14 guys, all with their hands.
This year we have 12 men, two teams of six evangelists, and then we had three ladies and four men on the prayer team that just returned yesterday, including a couple other pastors. I mean, we have people from all ages and all places. In fact, I was doing the math. I normally don't. I'm trying to figure out how old is this team now of the evangelists. We have four men in their 30s. We have, I think, one or two in their 40s, a couple in their 50s, we have multi-generational.
That's fantastic. Yeah. Pass it right on down. Very good.
We have about 10 minutes, just so you know.
Oh, okay. All right.
There's the clock right there. I know this is new.
I see it.
I know this is new.
Yep. What are we going to, 26?
26, yeah.
Okay. Well, boy, you said 40 or 50 different universities.
Yes.
Wow. Rolling Stones gather no moss. I don't think there's any moss on you, right? No, mommy, touching it there.
Over 10 years. I mean, this is your time.
Yeah. And you keep a happy marriage, too. I try to.
God, yeah, my wife's been hugely important, instrumental. I was just talking with another pastor friend about that, Pastor Lewis, and I was talking about, man, some of the things we're talking about, if we didn't have the wives we had, I don't know if we could do, because what my wife will do, and I know your wife will do the same, she will tell me things that are hard to hear, that I don't want to hear. She'll offer a different perspective, and I may not like it at first, but I know it's needful. And so your wife, I've always said she's like the assistant to the Holy Spirit.
No, I agree. My wife's my barometer for things.
Yes, barometer.
I can tell a quick story. When I was a youth pastor, my wife and I, we took all our kids on a hike at nighttime. It was like during the harvest, near Halloween time. We took them for a hike. Being a young man, kind of goofy, I brought a monster mask with me. And
I
saw
that.
I don't need a mask anymore.
Oh,
so I ran down the path. I'll keep this short.
When our kids
came down, I was going to jump out and scare them.
Okay.
Well, then there's some wagon out there giving a bunch of people a hayride late at nighttime out in the park. I said, I'm going to go put the mask on and go scare these people. And my wife's like, no, John, don't do it. Don't do it. But me being dumb, I went and did it. Mm-hmm. And I went running out this wagon of these people like, rah. And the man drives and stop, stop. And they were people with disabilities.
Oh, my goodness. You should have listened.
I should have listened.
Listened.
I should have listened to my wife. And hope you're listening out there, honey.
That's a great
I learned the hard way, Pastor.
Yes, that's a good one. That's a good one. Thanks for sharing that.
Oh, thank you. All right, well, we don't have time for all that. So, let's see. So, again, tell us a little bit more about Kenya, if you can.
Okay.
You said you've been there five times
already.
Well,
we're going on, this would be the fifth time. So, we're going back there to purchase land, to hopefully build a children's home. That's the next project.
That's
so, we have a Rescue and Revive Ministries Kisoko in Kisoko, Kenya. Pastor Sheikah is the pastor of that church. We have our ambassador, who's the hands, feet, eyes, and ears for us to continue to build our relationships and spearhead the projects that we have. So we have our ambassador, Max Odunga. He is, I love him.
Yeah, I'm friends with him on Facebook.
Yeah, I love him. I hope to get him here. We're trying to get him over here. But we have our metal sheet church that's been built. We've got the water well in Turkana. We have a feeding center of 3 acres. We're able to provide maize and beans for people in impoverished areas. And now we're going back, hopefully, to purchase land to build a children's home near the church in Kisoko. And again, it's a land of opportunity because, and I tell them this, I'm not a wealthy man here. I'm not a wealthy man. Is that a train? Is there a train?
Yeah, sorry.
I'm not a wealthy man. You know that here. I have a modest home. I don't have brand new vehicles. I still work. I have a business. But over there, when I cross over the ocean, to be candid with you, I am wealthy. And so I'm instructed in the scriptures. I was just reading it yesterday that, you know, when you remember the poor, that's what James, John, and Peter told the Apostle Paul. And he was already excited to do that.
That's the great thing I wanted to do.
Yeah. And so Kenya qualifies, especially places like Turkana. And that's God's heart. And I want to believe that's my heart and the heart of Rescue and Five Ministries, to be able to further the kingdom and further the gospel in a place like Kenya, and specifically Western Kenya, has been amazing. And I've fallen in love with the people. I got my Kenya necklace on right here. Fallen in love with the place, the people, and I have a longing for so many people, including my family. My wife was close this time. She wasn't the right time to come over and just to see it. It's like when Jesus said, come and see what was going on. Once you see it and you're there, it's transformative.
Yeah, amen. I've been on some mission trips, Ecuador, El Salvador, Mexico, and, you know, it's good what the work we do there, but the work that takes place in our hearts, it's transformative, as you said. And I might have to take that necklace if I can.
I'll give it to you.
No, I knew you would, but no, I'm teasing.
I'll give it to you. I will, man.
All right, so, you know, you're very busy, but I also hear you're a very good golfer, so I don't know when you find time to get golfing and practice, but...
Whoever told you that, they're lying. Okay. I'm not that good. It's funny because I talk about golf because it's in my heart. I really like the game. I do. I enjoy it tremendously.
Well.
I'm not great. I would be considered a decent golfer, if I had to be honest. So I shoot in the 90s consistently, but I'm not a great golfer. A great golfer would be 70s, 80s. I'll break 90. That's my goal on occasion, but I'm not great. But thank you, whoever said that.
I think it was Randy.
I figured that. Yeah, well, he's never played golf, so he needs to stay quiet. No, decent.
Well, I shot a 76 once.
That's really good.
Yeah, second hole I did a little better.
That's your humor. I should have known.
Sorry. Such a right.
John
one.
Daly got a 19 on a hole, by the way. We're digressing, by the way.
Yeah, sorry.
We got 3 minutes.
I'm
going to
get fired.
All right. No, it's okay.
All right, so what is one thing you would change with Rescue and Revive if you could? One thing would you change?
Wow,
get rid of this guest host?
No, but that's a great question, obviously. I've never been asked that. One thing I could change. That's a really good question. So to be very candid with you, it's never come to mind, and I feel terrible saying that. But
well, that's good if you have nothing to change.
Well, it's not, no, because I'm always, we pivot a lot, and we change things. For example, we did, it's like pruning a tree. Like, we will stop certain branches of the ministry. We engrafted Camry. In.
Right.
So I guess the word is pivoting. I'm always praying about pivoting, cutting, pruning, that type of thing.
Right.
As far as the ministry itself, I give people the illustration of it being a trunk. Like, the gospel of Jesus Christ is the trunk, and the branches are all the ministries that extend from that trunk. So we should be pruning them, cutting them off if they're no longer for us, or engrafting them in like we did with Camry.
Yeah. Constant changes here to stay, right? Things always change. You got to be flexible.
We're going to have to switch roles here because I'm going to put you on the spot unless you have that last question I always ask prepared.
Well, I was going to ask, about the gospel? You want me to ask you that one?
No, we got 2 minutes, yeah.
That's up to you.
You or me?
You're in
which
charge.
Host? Which host to ask?
I think you should.
Okay. So, what's the question?
Okay, well, in 30 seconds or less, give us the gospel message in your own vernacular.
Yeah. So, the gospel of Jesus Christ is this. Sin entered the world. In Genesis, God created man in his image. They were instructed not to eat from a certain tree. They transgressed. They did that in sin, which means missing the mark, entered into the world. And because of that, by nature and by choice, you and I have a dilemma. Every person who's entered the world has a dilemma, and that's this. Because we missed the mark, we cannot enter into a perfect holy kingdom of heaven with a perfect holy God. But God, in his foreknowledge and his omnipotence, had a plan that he would give his only unique begotten Son to be sacrificed in our place. And Jesus came to the earth, truly God, truly man, lived a sinless, perfect life for 33 and a half years, roughly, and was the Lamb of God, the sacrificial Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. How did he do that? His crucifixion, his brutal death on the cross, his blood atoning for our sins. Without shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness, no remission of sins. So now, by faith, if we repent, that means have a change of mind and believe, that's put our faith, hope, and trust in the work that Christ has done, we, by faith, can inherit eternal life in the kingdom of heaven. That's grace. God's riches at Christ's expense, and that's the gospel.
That's very good. You did excellent. You did better than I could have done. The only problem is you did it in over 30 seconds.
But how long did it take? Tell
me. I didn't time, but it's okay.
Was it? All right.
We ain't going to stop the Holy Spirit.
It's
amen.
The opposite. Amen.
We're
amen.
Not stop, but I appreciate that. We're about time to check
it's
out.
It's almost here. About time, and so what I want to tell people, first of all, thank you. That was the first time we've tried something. That was your idea. We're 6.5 years into this Rescue and Revive Gospel Show. I want to thank you because you've been an amazing backup host, very, very valuable man and pastor and co-laborer in this ministry. So thank you. I just wanted to encourage you, as Pastor John already mentioned, we'll be headed out on the crusade this Wednesday, the two teams of evangelists, and we're excited about that. Keep us in your prayers, and then also, as mentioned, be returning to Kenya very, very soon. And just want to thank you for joining us today, helping us rescue the lost and revive the saved with the everlasting gospel of Jesus Christ. God bless you. Have a great evening.
Thank you.